thoroughly enjoying the Spirit of the Lord. And it's good to see your smiling faces. We were so impressed when we drove up looking at this beautiful new church for our first time. What a lovely, lovely church. And we know that all of you are so proud of it and so thankful. But this is a great monument for the name of the Lord in Pine Bluff. It's good to be here with some of my relatives today. Of course, it would be neater if all of them could be here, but it was such a surprise to get to see my Aunt Ruth. I thought she was in Florida, and the other day she thought I was in Kansas City. We pastored in Kansas City 14 years, and for many years we had said, "Aunt Ruth, come see us." And so almost on the day that we left Kansas City to move, she tried to call us and was going to come and see us. So we didn't know we were going to get to see each other in Arkansas, but it's good to see Aunt Ruth. Of course, it's good to see Aunt Norma and Aunt Johnny Mae and Wayne and all the family and cousins and everybody. It's just great to see everybody. We always love to be with our family, but our family reaches out more than just the Pierces and the Snellgroves and the Rutledges, and it reaches on out to all of you because we are all a part of the family. Amen. And I know you're feeling keenly the loss of one of your family this morning, but as Brother Rutledge said, the work of the Lord goes on, and we are all sure that our departed brother would like for us to worship the Lord. Praise God. So it's good to be here today. The Lord bless you. I'm asking my wife to come and sing, and let's just keep worshiping the Lord and let him have his way. Thank the Lord.
He's my lighthouse in the midnight. He's my shelter from the storm. He's my guide o'er Rocky Mountain. He's my rest when I am worn. He's my bread when I'm hungry. When I thirst, he's water too. Everything I've ever needed, I found it, Lord, in you. Oh, I found it, Lord, in you. Yes, I found it, Lord, in you. Everything of which I've dreamed, I found it, Lord, in you. Let the world make their offer. I don't need it to go through. Everything I've ever needed, I found it, Lord, in you. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me all the way through. Everything I've ever needed, I found it, Lord, in you. Oh, I found it, Lord, in you. Yes, I found it, Lord, in you. Everything of which I've dreamed, I found it, Lord, in you. Let the world make their offer. I don't need it to go through. Everything I've ever needed, I found it, Lord, in you. Oh, I found it, Lord, in you. Yes, I found it, Lord, in you. Everything of which I've dreamed, I found it, Lord, in you. Let the world make their offer. I don't need it to go through everything I've ever needed. I found it, Lord, in you. Everything I've ever needed, I found it, Lord, in you. Everything I've ever needed, I found it, Lord, in you. Worship the Lord today. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Well, as we said, it's so good to be here today. And my, this is a good spirit. Let's stand and worship the Lord and just let go to this good spirit we feel right now.
Praise God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, we love you. We appreciate you. Thank you for your presence today.
Wonderful God, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Wonderful Lord,
wonderful Lord, wonderful Lord, wonderful
Your presence, Your love, Your power.
Glory, 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 glory. Well, the Lord bless you. Shake hands with someone near you and say, it's so good to be here today. And then you may be seated.
Praise.
Brother Rutledge was referring to that revival and how well I remember 1957. I got on the bus in Tulsa. Some of these evangelists feel like they can't evangelize unless they have a big trailer and a. But we got on the bus for our first revival and came to Dewdrop. And they dropped us off in Dewdrop. And my, what a good time we had. But I'll never forget not only the Nash and the ghost under the bed, but I remember going and praying at the church after that first service. And I was so discouraged. I said, Lord, if this is what it's all about, I don't know if I'm an evangelist or not. First revival, first service. Of course, I still say that sometime after 32 years. But I'll never forget praying in the church that day, and I was feeling so low. And I thought, you know, I am tempted just to not even go back home. I'm tempted to go get on the bus and just head back right now. Well, that was, I guess, a little over 31 years ago. And we have kept going by the grace of the Lord. And just resigned our church in Kansas City after being there 14 years. And here we are back on the evangelistic field again. Well, I'm glad Uncle Marvin is too big to fit under the bed. I'm glad he doesn't have a Nash. But I'm glad that we're not in the old church at Dewdrop. It's so good to be in this nice, beautiful building. And it's good to see so many, 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 many new faces. We recognize a few from, of course, being here a long time ago, and then since that time, preaching several times here. But it's so good to see growth and progress, and we are thankful for the tremendous work that he answered discreetly. He said unto him, Thou art not far from the kingdom of God. And no man after that durst ask him any question. Lord, we thank you for this great day. Thank you for revival that is beginning this morning. Thank you, Lord, for revival that has been and will be. But we thank you for these series of services during which we're expecting great things to happen from you, Lord. We're relying up on you. Let us draw our minds and hearts together in one and worship you and let your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to note what Jesus said to the scribe. First of all, let us remember that
this scribe was not an outsider relative to the law and righteousness that the Jewish people knew. He was undoubtedly a very godly man. He knew the law well. He was involved in copying the law. He was a scribe. The law had been written on rough pieces of parchment, and scribes would copy those parchments. So he knew the law. Scribes were considered experts in the area of the law. He knew the prophecies concerning the coming of the Messiah. The only problem, he was having trouble accepting Jesus Christ as that Messiah. That's why he came and began to ask some questions along with others. The others who came, for the most part, I would say at least at this point, were being very critical with their questions. They were not asking for knowledge. They were asking because they did not agree with Jesus. They were asking to embarrass Jesus. They were asking that they might try to trap Jesus and make him contradict himself, violating the law, therefore estranging himself from the Jewish nation. The scribe came, though, with a better motive and a cleaner heart. Jesus knew that. Now, when he asked his question and Jesus answered him, then the scribe said, "Master, you have well said, because this is true." When Jesus saw the spirit and this attitude and his wise answer, he said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Hallelujah. Now, once again, I want you to note very, very carefully. This scribe was not in the kingdom of God. At this point, he had not accepted the kingdom of God, or Jesus would have said, "You are in the kingdom." He said, "You are not far from the kingdom." Now, I have always been taught that a miss is as good as a mile. I have always been taught that if you don't succeed, you fail. If you're not well, you're sick. If you're not alive, you're dead. If you don't hit, you miss. Jesus said, "You are not far from the kingdom." That's another way of saying, buddy, you have missed it. You are not in the kingdom. You are a long ways off. You might as well not know anything about the law or God, because you're lost anyway. You're on your way to hell. But Jesus did not say that. He said, "Thou art not far from the kingdom of God." Now, I want to ask you today, what was Jesus really saying by using that phrase? What was he really saying to the scribe? And what is he saying to us today as we read the account of this? Is he suggesting something that we need to grasp today? Well, personally, I think he is. Because I believe that even though we may feel a long ways from what we are wanting today, I believe we are a lot closer than we realize. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, there are some gung-ho enthusiasts, zealots of the kingdom, who like to look at folks and say, "You're lost. You're going to hell. You have not obeyed the fullness of the truth. You have not obeyed Acts 2:38, so you are lost." And scripturally, we are obligated to take a stance such as that, in a sense. On the other hand, Jesus, being Almighty God, knew even more than we the condition and the status of that man, that he was not saved. He was not in the kingdom. Being not far off meant that he wasn't in it. He was not okay, folks. We are not saying that he was okay, but Jesus said, you're not far. Oh, there's so many things that I want to say today. Romans 3:23, Paul said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are many words that are used to translate the Greek word for sin. One word or one phrase is to miss the mark. To miss the mark. Now, when you miss the mark, you don't hit the mark. Is that right? I mean, if you're lost, you're lost. You're not saved. If you miss the mark, you miss the mark. You haven't hit it. But there's a lot of difference in telling folks you missed it by a long ways, or you didn't miss it by much. For example, if you're target shooting and you miss the bullseye, don't you want to know how far off you are? I mean, what if there's a fellow standing down there about 100 yards or 200 yards or 300 yards, and he says, and you holler down there, did I hit it? And he says, oh, no. No, you didn't hit it at all. What do you say next? How far off was I? Well, it doesn't make a bit of difference how far off you were. You just missed it. I mean, hang it up. Forget about it. Instead, he says, oh, you know what? You just missed it by that much. You almost made it. That's what Jesus said to the scribe. He was wanting to encourage him. He was wanting to cause him to want to go on that little bit of distance farther. If Jesus had said, look, sir, you have missed it. In fact, you might as well be a million miles from the truth because you are lost and on your way to hell. In fact, he looked at him without the spirit of compromise, without any compromise, and he said, you aren't far. You're not far from the kingdom. How many times when we witness to our friends and our loved ones? In fact, how many times do we go to our jobs? We live in our neighborhoods. We go to school, to our classes. We function in life in various capacities, causing us to come close to a lot of folks, some of which we're kin to, some of which we're not, some of which we know, some of which we do not. How often do we find ourselves wanting to witness? How often do we find ourselves wondering, is this person saved? Are they lost? Are they ready to go? If they tell us, I know Jesus, we immediately think about, oh, I wonder if they've been baptized in Jesus' name. If they talk about really knowing the Lord, we say, I wonder if they've received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we have a compunction within us. There's something that overwhelms us, that you get on an elevator or you're working next to somebody or in school or in the neighborhood. You want to tell them, look, you need to repent if you haven't. You need to be baptized in Jesus' name if you haven't. You need to receive the Holy Ghost. You need to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. You need to live a holy life. You want to tell them everything. Is that right?
Yeah, also, yeah.
But you know what? Jesus said, sir, you're not far from the kingdom.
Oh, hallelujah.
I wonder if we could use that approach sometime and tell folks, I've had people with tears in their eyes knowing that they had not embraced the truth that I know, that I feel is essential. But I have had them to look at me with tears in their eyes and say, I love Jesus. Oh, I want to go in the rapture. What do you say to those folks? Sure, you try to get the truth to them, but could not we look at them and say, you're not far from the kingdom. You're not far from the kingdom. What the Lord's wanting you to do is go on and get just a little more. Just a little more. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Have you ever noticed how close opposites are, though they are poles apart? Now, if you'll permit me, if I had a black marker with me, we could just... this is, the message comes first, brother. Brother Rutledge, This would be a nice wall to illustrate what I don't happen to have one with me.
Amen. Thank God.
But if you could draw a line, if you could draw a big black line all the way from this door, in fact, this is set up just right. Is this in the middle here, this emergency light? All right. If you could draw a black line all the way to that door, and then if you could come here, and we'll call this the middle, if you could draw a line like that, and you could let this end represent the negative, end represent the positive. If you could let this end represent death, and that door down there represent life, this extreme representing, let's say, health, that extreme or sickness, that extreme representing health, this extreme representing failure, that extreme representing success. Now, don't forget, we have drawn right here in the middle, right here in the middle, means that that half represents everything good. That half represents everything bad. That is happiness. That is joy. That is health. That is heaven. That is succeeding. That is life. But this is all sorrow. This is anguish. This is pain. This is death. This is failure. All right? They meet right here in the middle. See, so often the devil tells you when you are lost, he says, look, you're way down here. In fact, you're out the door. I mean, you're so far from being saved. And actually, we use that term. We say someone is far from God. They're a long ways from God. And sin does separate you. If you don't ever make it right, you are a long ways from God. And you will wind up in hell forever separated from God. But on the other hand, how close is a person to finding God? If you're sitting here today without God, you've never even gone to the altar. My friend, you're here. You're not that far from the kingdom. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In fact, you're on this side of the line, but you're not way down there. You're in church. You're in the presence of the Lord. All you have to do is just step across the line. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You see, repentance, all repentance is, oh, it's turning from sin. That's right. But repentance is when you're going in the wrong direction. It doesn't matter where you are in this segment. It's when you're headed this way. You're headed away from God. Repentance is when you turn around. That's the very meaning of the word repentance. When you turn around. Now, you've not made any progress. You've not taken a step. But at least you're headed in the right direction. Now, some folks feel like when they repent, when they turn around, they've gone all the way. I mean, they're already in heaven. I mean, once repented, you don't even have to take a step. But repentance, as beautiful as it is, it's just a turning around. You got to start walking now. You got to start taking some steps. Hallelujah. Far from the kingdom. You're not far from repenting. All you have to do is just turn around. It's not that far. And keep going. Hallelujah. When you are sick, how far are you from health? The devil says you're a long ways. It's going to take months and months and months and months. But how much do we know that God can heal in a moment? Hallelujah. That's why we don't spend our life down here. We're not way around here somewhere. No, sir. Do you know where we spend our life? If we could only see it, thou art not far from the kingdom. There it is. Hallelujah. It just takes a step between you and health. A step. You say, I have failed miserably. I've made a lot of mistakes. You're just a step from success. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're just a step from victory. You're just a step from what you need from God. In fact, when we come in here sometimes and the service seems a little slow, do you realize we are only a step from the greatest service we've ever had?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If you were digging for gold and somebody told you, you are 1 inch, how much more would you keep digging? Now, what if somebody told you you're about 25 miles from hitting gold? Would you keep digging? You see, when Jesus said, thou art not far from the kingdom, he was telling that scribe, scribe, don't give up now. Just keep going. You're closer than you think you are. You see, we and our zeal for truth have had a tendency to look at everybody else not in the truth as being a long ways away. But do you realize every church in this city is just that far from the baptism of the Holy Ghost today? Hallelujah. Oh, you got to be in a United Pentecostal church to get the Holy Ghost. No. Sitting there, and no matter what church it is in this city today, all they'd have to do sitting there, they may be singing doxologies. The preacher may be reading his sermon. The deacons may be taking a smoke break. It doesn't matter. That old boy sitting there in that church, how close is he to the Holy Ghost? All he has to do is repent right there. It doesn't take that long to repent. Amen. Hallelujah. There is not the worst sinner that far from repenting, that far from turning around and finding God. All he has to do is say, I'm tired of this old life. I want to live for God. In fact, he doesn't even have to raise his hands. He doesn't even have to close his eyes. He can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right where he's sitting. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, 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 glory. How close are we then? Just a step. Just a step. Just a step. Now, I don't keep up with automobile racing, but the Indianapolis 500 has always intrigued me a little bit. And I listened to very little of it this year. But I did read in the paper later that Rick Mears won the Indianapolis 500, which is a grueling race of 500 miles, 200 times around an oval track that takes hours to run. It's a grueling race. They have to pull in and have the tires change, pull in and get gasoline. They'll have wrecks. Sitting there in that tight cockpit is very tiring. And it's a very strenuous race. Rick Mears, after hours and 500 miles, won that race and came in, won $800,000, the number two man, and I can't even remember his name. I mean, 7 seconds between you remember one name and then the second name you don't remember. He won $300,000. $500,000 difference, 7 seconds between the number one man and the number two man. Look how close that old boy was to winning number two. Now look how close he was to $500,000. Look how close he was to victory. Look how close he was to having us to remember his name this morning instead of forgetting it. But he missed it. He missed it. How close are you today to healing, to victory, to strength, to success, to the Holy Ghost? How close are we to revival? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You remember David said to Jonathan, there is but a step between me and death. There's but a step between me and death. In other words, your father Saul is after me, and I'm just one step from death. But you know what? You can't go around through life saying, I'm just, somebody says, how are you feeling today? Well, I'm just one step out of the grave. Well, isn't that true? I mean, let's be on this side of life. Some people, this is the way they live. They live facing the negative, facing death, facing everything bad. They've got a foot up like this. They're almost over the line, and they're just looking at any time to go. Is that right? Some folks live like that. Why not, instead of saying, I'm a step from death, say, I'm in life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just a step from heaven. I'm just a step from great things happening. I'm just a step from seeing God do the greatest thing in my life that I have ever enjoyed.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Can you folks hear me this morning? How many have ever been to Four Corners? Four Corners, the only place in the United States where four states come together: New Mexico, Arizona, Utah, and Colorado. The only place where four states form a perfect square. I mean, the other states, you know, Arkansas and Oklahoma going together, and Texas and various states, it's crooked. The only place in the United States where four states form a perfect corner. Now, how many have been there? All right, there's a monument there. When we were passing through there one day, we stopped and we got out and walked over there, and it's intriguing. I mean, they've got the boundaries drawn out on a slab there, and so they've got the square. Right up here is Utah, and right over here is Colorado, and right over here is the corner of Arizona, and right over here is the corner of New Mexico. So what you can do, you can stand in Arizona a little while, and then you can say, honey, I believe I'll go to Colorado. And you can just kind of step over here to Colorado. Yeah. And you can stay in Colorado while you say, boy, it's really nice here, but I think I want to go to Utah. And we did all of this. You know, we stood there, just had a little fun, you know. I think I'm going to go to New Mexico. But now, what you're probably thinking already, and this is what almost everybody does that goes there, I said, honey, I want to be in all four states at once. Yeah. Yeah. So I got down like that and had her to take my picture. We got that picture. I've been in all four of those states at the same time. Now, you know what the devil tells you? The devil says you're in Arizona, and there is no way in your life you'll ever get to Colorado. It's just too far. Say, devil, you're a liar. I spend my life just a step. I'm just a step away. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and you've sought it for 20 years, do you know what? I don't care how long you've sought it. You're not but just a short little step from the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. Hallelujah. You say you don't know how hard I've sought the Holy Ghost. That's all right. You just camped at the border. You've been right there. You're not far from the kingdom. You're close. All you have to do is just step across. And there it is. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. You say, Brother Gilstrap, what's the difference? I mean, if you're away, you're away. If you're in, you're in. That's true. If Jesus would come right now, that is very, very true. But let me ask you a question. Why did Jesus say, thou art not far from the kingdom? Why didn't he say, Buster, you're lost. If you don't believe in that I'm the Christ. I mean, see, that's our approach so often. I look at folks and I see an old hippie going down the road, hitchhiking. And I have a tendency to feel like, my God, look at that. Look at that scuzz bum. I mean, that old boy, it's just no telling what he doesn't take baths, no telling what he lives with and what all he does and what all his life consists of. But you know what? That's a soul. That's a soul that's not that far from the kingdom. How do we know this? All he'd have to do, even before he's baptized in Jesus' name, if he would repent of his sins in a moment by the side of the road, if we stop and witness to him, he could receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost right there. Hallelujah. 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 Glory. You know what? Sometimes, in fact, I've even prayed, Lord, let me see an angel. You know, some of these folks are seeing a lot of angels. Well, I haven't just started praying that for years. I have prayed. Have you ever prayed to see an angel? I mean, it'd really be neat to be discouraged and an angel just all of a sudden just appear and say, Bob, it's going to be okay. And my name is 3 score and 10. it's going to be okay. Let me tell you a few things. That would be so neat. But you know what? I got to thinking. I may never see an angel. But there is just a thin line that divides angels from all of us.
Amen.
I mean, angels are invisible, but all they have to do is just step over a thin line and they're visible.
Amen.
Here was Almighty God in spirit. He was just a step from putting on flesh.
That's right.
And he came into the world and everybody saw him. He was but a step from stepping back. See, Pilate said, you better watch out or I'll kill you. And Jesus said, no, you can't do that. I step back and forth across the line of my own will. I control all of that. I step back over here and I'm invisible again. Nobody can see me. But there's just a brief step there. And you know what? We live that close to the supernatural. the miracles, the wonders, the signs, the Holy Ghost. I mean, whatever God wants to do, there are a lot of things in the supernatural world that are just, it's not way out there somewhere. It's just right there close.
Hallelujah.
You're right. Hallelujah. That's why we need, as we work through the day, we need, instead of feeling like I'm a million miles away, and listen, the devil will tell you that. Say, devil, I'm close to it. Young people, the devil will tell you when you make mistakes, you're a long ways from God. The devil used to tell me you got to fast 10 days and 14 days and 21 days and you got to read the Bible through and you got to do a whole bunch of things to ever get righteous and holy and godly. I didn't realize how close I was to walking with God. Hallelujah. How close. How close. How close. So what shall we do today? Let's recognize it first, because you see, if someone says there's really no difference in saying I'm close or I'm a long ways, because you got to travel the same distance. On the other hand, in your mind, that's why he told the scribe not to compromise, not to play tricks with him mentally, not to do anything else but to encourage him that, scribe, you're not that far away. Keep going. Keep walking. Don't give up. How sad it is that some people will give up so close to heaven. You know what? I don't believe when the Lord comes, and you check with your pastor, and if he disagrees with me, well, then you just listen to your pastor and forget what this young evangelist said. Young evangelist. But see, when you start walking with God, I don't believe the Lord's going to come down here and say, well, let's see, in the rapture, I'm only going to take folks that have a big, long backlog of successes and have done a whole lot for me. Oh, there are rewards. I believe God will reward everything that we do. But you know what he's going to do? He's going to come down and check and see, have you obeyed my gospel?
Hallelujah.
Have you obeyed the truth? Have you turned from sin? Have you been baptized in my name? Have you received my spirit? Are you walking with me? Yeah, but Lord, I started here, and I just barely got turned around, and I've just taken a few little steps, and they seem to be baby steps. And way over yonder is perfection in heaven. The Lord says, wait a minute. As long as you're staying ahead of the devil, as long as you're living a victorious life, as long as you're not involved in sin, I'm taking you. You're one of my special. You're a chosen vessel. You know what the devil says? The devil says, unless your nose is bumping the gate over here, unless you're just ready at any moment. You know, some people feel like, unless I'm just living right here, just at any moment, I could just bump through into glory, into heaven, that I'm not ready to go. That's not true. That's not true. God wants us to live above sin, but he wants us to try. He wants us to try. The Bible says the righteous fall down 7 times. You stumble. You fall. You make mistakes. But the key is get up. Keep going. Are you trying? Are you working at it? What do you do when you fail? What do you do when you get sick? What do you do when you make a mistake? What do you do when something bad happens? That's the key. You got to bounce back and say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to repent. I'm going to clean up my life. I'm going to keep going. I don't believe that if we could see the picture. In fact, the world does these music beauty videos. They'll take up with that and they'll show different things. You know, I'd like to make a video of a Christian. In my mind, I don't see a Christian coming in the door of the church and walking like this, right straight to heaven. In fact, I'd like to show that as some people's concept of living for God and of serving the Lord. Instead, if you could see it, the Christian comes in, and the Lord lets him go pretty well for a little ways. I mean, you know, hallelujah. Boy, it's great living for God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And about right here, something hits him. And he just... Oh, Pastor, I thought I had the Holy Ghost. The pastor says, you do. But I lost it. You didn't lose the Holy Ghost. Get up from there and live for God. Repent of the mistake you made. But Pastor, you don't realize I really had a problem, Pastor. And I just don't feel like trying anymore. The pastor says, come on, get up from there. Get up from there. Throw that away. Come on, let's go. And so you get up and you say, well, thank you, Jesus. The Lord took me back. You go straight, well, maybe just for a little while. And then you get to struggling. And you almost topple. And then the saints pray and people help you. Praise God. If we could see the Christian getting to heaven, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And then sometimes, backwards a little bit, sometimes, what do? Just give up? No. Come on, Lord, help me. I got to have some help. Come on. I want to make it. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to keep trying. You know what? That's the picture of a person going to heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many times do people stumble and fall, make a mistake, get discouraged, and they lie there? And somebody says, how long have you been there? Well, I received the Holy Ghost 20 years ago, and I made a mistake right after I got in the church, and I really have not done anything since. No, sir. The righteous fall 7 times. Yes, sir. We all stumble. We make mistakes. This is not glorifying error, sin, or making mistakes. We all, in shooting, we miss the mark. We miss the mark. We miss the mark. But what do? Raise that old rifle up a little bit. Praise God. Move it over. Somebody says, you're right a little bit. Well, move back to the left. Somebody says, you're left a little bit. Move back to the right. Stay right there on the bullseye. You know what? The bullseye is in the middle of the target. If I had that black marker again, I'd draw you a big one, see? I'll have me one tonight if I don't forget it. You see, you draw what's called concentric rings because all the rings have a common center, concentric. So you draw all these rings and you get around and that bullseye is right in the center. But some folks feel like the bullseye is way over here to the right. Is that right? Bless God, I'm going to preach about 30 minutes now. I heard about an old boy that thought that he couldn't eat cake because it had vanilla flavoring in it. Vanilla flavoring has alcohol in it, so he couldn't eat any cake. You see, some folks think that the bullseye is over here. Some think the bullseye is over here. They can just eat anything, no matter if it has alcohol or not. I mean, even if they happen to just, before they put it in the vanilla flavoring, you know, it's okay. But the bullseye is in the middle. So if you get off a little bit, that's what the pastor's for. He says, you're missing the mark a little. Now, I've gone out with my bow and put an arrow on and stacked me up some bales of hay and put that arrow. You know, I've never used these cheaters. I just like the old Indians. You know, I just have me a plain bow and just an arrow and just instinctively, you know, you just pull it back, let it go, and sometimes I miss the whole bale. I have missed the whole bale. I mean, not only the target, I've missed the whole bale. But what do? Well, if I went over it, what do? Lower a little bit. Now, why is it in life, if we know all of this, when it comes to living for God, we don't do that? Living for God is constant adjustment. They tell me that a torpedo goes from a ship, not directly to its target. Now, maybe now, since they have computers that they're able to do this, but several years ago, they said when a torpedo leaves the tube in the ship or the submarine and it goes to a target, arrives at, for instance, it'll start and it'll correct itself. But when it corrects, it overcorrects. And then when it starts to go this way, it'll correct back. Now, if you could see that torpedo in the water, you wouldn't see it going like this. It's very slight. It'll start to go right and then correct. Start to go left. That's the way they can control it electronically. And so that torpedo arrives at that door over there by starting to go right and then correct it. Starting to go left. Have you ever rolled a spare tire down the street? Do you just roll? Usually what you do, you hit it on this side. And you're trying to go forward, but this motion will make it go a little bit that way. And so you'll hit it this way, and you just... Have you ever rolled a spare tire like that? And that old spare tire is going like that. That's the Christian. That's a Christian. We're torpedoes. We have to adjust. We get too far this way. We get too far this way. We have to adjust. But you know what? If we'll keep going, if we'll keep going, hallelujah, if we'll keep on a little bit, pretty soon, there's heaven. Will I make it? Oh, you're going to make it. Keep trying. Live for God. Pretty soon, hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Glory.
Day by day, I believe that our walk with God and our living for God will end one of these days, the final correction. In fact, if we could see the Lord in this video, we'll put the Lord here. God does not, he's into the church. Here he is, a brand new Christian. The Lord doesn't get over at that door and say, come on. Come on, buddy, you're doing pretty good. Yeah, come on now, a little to the right, a little to the left. The Bible says the Comforter is the Parakletos, the one called alongside to help. The one called alongside. That's what the Holy Ghost is. He comes right over here with you. He's right by your side. When you're stumbling, when you're falling, when you're making mistakes, he's right there. You know, I'm going to say something here that may cross some folks' philosophy, but I just really feel that we have made some mistakes, Brother Rutledge, in the past in teaching our kids. For years, I've heard parents teach their kids, and I was taught like this. Bobby, don't go any place in the world. I mean, don't go to a beer joint or a dance hall or a gambling casino. Don't go to any of those places because the moment, now listen closely, the moment you go in there, God won't go with you. He doesn't go to places like that. He will leave and he'll go somewhere else or he'll wait outside for you. That's not true. David said, if I go to hell, he's there. The Holy Ghost goes with you. Why does he go with you? He goes in there and he says, come on, you don't want to be here. Come on, you're miserable. Come on, let's go. I'm the helper called alongside to help. Come on, let's get out of here. Come on, let's go. Come on, let's go. You don't want to stay there? Let's go. Oh, but I'm discouraged. He's not up there, folks. He is right by your side helping you. Now, I've not pastored as long as your pastor up here, but I have pastored long enough to know that one of the most common problems of the membership is what I'm preaching this morning. The devil coming along and saying, you've had a bad thought. You have made a mistake. You didn't act. You can be on your way to church talking in tongues, and the kids in the back seat get to fussing, and you can reach around and pinch the blood out of one of them. Slap them upside the head and say, I wish you all would shut up. Get on your side. Get on your side. Yeah, but he said, get on over there. And then you come in church and you sit down and your victory you feel is gone. And that's why a lot of times during the altar service, you find some of us, instead of up here praying with people to get the Holy Ghost, you know what we're doing? We feel condemnation. We go find a corner somewhere, and we get alone. And about the time church is completely over, we have finally got everything straightened out. We got over our little anger spell. We got over our little bad feeling, and we're ready to have church, but it's time to go. You know why? Because the devil says, you sure didn't act like a Christian. You didn't act like you've got the Holy Ghost. And then you get to thinking, what do my kids think? What does my wife think? Now, what does my husband think? I got... You know what I mean? Hey, the Bible says, he remembereth our frame, that it is but dust. He's called alongside to help. He is right there. Now, don't get me wrong. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. God hates adultery, but he loves the adulterer. He hates lying, but he loves the liar. He hates murder, but he loves the murderer. You say God loves those folks? That's another thing. Parents, don't ever teach your kids. I've heard parents for years say, you better be good or Jesus won't love you.
Oh, God. Amen.
He's said, I came to seek and to save. You know, some folks say, I won't go to that church over there because it's got too many sinners and got too many hypocrites and got too many bad folks in it. What do some folks think the church is? Jesus said, I came not to call the righteous to repentance. When he was at the sinner's house, when he went in that bad guy's house, the Lord, the Spirit that was making him God did not leave him. Not at all. He went there and he said, the well don't need a physician when they criticized him. It's the sick that need a physician. Our churches are not museums where perfect Christians are being exhibited. Our churches are hospitals. They're hospitals. I mean, what if you could go down the hall of the church today, figuratively? I mean, you pass one room, and here's an old boy, he's in traction. I mean, both legs and both arms, and he's bandaged from head to toe. And right across the hall is an amputee. The church is full of folks needing help. Is that right? Somebody says, well, so-and-so's not what they ought to be. How can the fella in traction look across the hall and say, I don't like to be in this place. I see an amputee over there. Look at him. He's in traction. We've all got problems. We've all got needs. We've all got weaknesses. But you know what? We're at least here in the hospital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. We're not walking around out on the street saying, boy, I'm about to die and I can't make it. We've come where we can get our help. Everyone. I don't know all of y'all today. I just know a few of you folks. I know this one and this one and this one. And a few of y'all, but you know what? I guarantee you, every person in this building today has a problem. You've got something that you're working on. You've got something you need help with. You are here today because you say, well, I'm not even a member of this church. No, but there's something you need help with today. Folks, you've come to the right place. This is the hospital. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some folks say, well, I tell you what. I'm such a bad sinner, I don't feel worthy to go to the altar and go to church. Do you say, I just tell you, I'm so sick, I just would feel embarrassed to go to the doctor. I'm so hungry, I don't feel like eating. I'm so sleepy, I don't feel like going to bed. Folks, what do you think church is for? What's it for? It's for all of us that have some problems. We've got some needs. Hallelujah. Some of us are twisted. Some of us have something missing. Some of us are stumbling. But you say, does this excuse sin? No, we're doing something about it. We're working on it. We're getting some help. Hallelujah, hallelujah. In our walk with God, sometimes he has to say, look here, here's a walker. He's one called alongside to help. Well, he says, here. And so sometimes you just to barely make it, you know, you got to just like this. You say, will I ever come out of this? Oh, hallelujah. You're not far from throwing that walker away and hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. Glory, glory. But get your therapy. Be patient. Work on it. Don't try to go from 0 to 60 in 1 second. Amen. You'll mess up your transmission. That's right. Christians are more like, we may have a strong engine, but we got a truck transmission. That's right. I'm afraid of those folks that pass me at the light. And they're way down the road because sometimes I meet them coming back. That's right. Put it way down in compound. Praise God. I got amused at these trucks. I've always wanted to drive an 18-wheeler, and I got to drive one just around the block one day. But you can get these things out in the end. I'll see them. They start off at the light, and before they're halfway across the intersection, they're already shifting. Yeah. And before they're across the intersection, they're shifting again. Mm-hmm. But you know what we want to do? The devil says, unless you take off and go, we're not far from the kingdom, folks. Just keep going. Keep plugging. Keep hitting it. Not very fast. That's all right. Just don't turn around. You say, well, sometimes I feel like I'm not making any progress. But an old preacher told me years ago, old brother E.J. Hamby, he said, Bobby, keep your nose and your toes in the same direction. Because Jesus said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back. See, when your toes and your nose aren't in the same direction, pretty soon you're going to be around here.
Yeah, that's right.
But he told me, he said, keep your nose and your toes in the same direction. What if I'm not making any progress? That's all right. Pretty soon you will.
Amen.
You will. You will. Pretty soon you'll get to go. You may be just kind of rocking back and forth, and sometime you feel like it's more that away. But just hold on. Praise God. Pretty soon. Thank you, Jesus. You'll start again. Hallelujah. You're going to live for God? You're going to make it? Hallelujah. Let's have a little music here. We're going to give an altar call for everybody in the building. Now, see, you folks that say, they always pick on me because I'm the sinner here. Everybody's always looking around at me when they give an altar call and wondering why old Joe and old Jim and old Frank and old Ernest won't come to the altar. But you know what? We all need to go today. Why? Because every one of us needs help. We are all struggling with attitudes, spirits. We struggle with ideas. We struggle with thoughts. We struggle with reactions and responses. We struggle with all kinds of things. But you know what? We're trying, Jesus. We're trying. We're working at it, God. We're in your hospital. Hallelujah. Let's stand and love the Lord. Let's ask him to help us today. Oh, yatalamukumariya palahashatalamukumahiyala. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all come today. Let's all come today. Let's ask God to help us. Let's all come and ask him to give us strength. Or have an act or anything that's unchristian-like, the devil says you've lost it. You're a long ways away. You might as well go ahead and give up now. You're not far. You're not far from victory. Hallelujah. You're not far. In fact, one of these days, God's going to come down to the hospital, folks. Hallelujah. I don't think God's coming for a perfect hospital. Perfect? That perfect means complete. We're complete in him. Above sin? Yes. But he's going to come, and he's going to say, all right, I've come for you. Hey, fella, you in traction, come on. Let's go. Hallelujah. You amputee, come on. Let's go. Throw your walker away. It's the rapture. We're headed for heaven. To the hospital? Oh, yes. Why? Because we're there doing our best, working on it, living for God. Hallelujah. He is here. Let's call on him one more time. Let's break through those barriers. Let's step across the line to victory. Thank you for victory today. God, we claim victory. We thank you for victory.
Oh.